talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Charleston Fall Home Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Ellie's fine, the sun shines most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and rents are low, but you know, keep thinking about making my way back. Well, I'm New York City born and raised, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA's fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more.
Good morning. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Neil Diamond, I Am, I Said, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs. Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Paige Taylor. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every February, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every October. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. If you have been listening the last few weeks, we've aired a couple of interviews in our occasional series, Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, where we interview a general contractor or remodeling contractor, really get into some good detailed information. And today we're going to be talking with general contractor Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction. And that's a very, very interesting interview. I hope you can tune in and listen to that. And then also we've got an interview with Chip Tovey with Palmetto Exterminators. But this is an exciting time at Charleston Home and Design Magazine. We had the summer 2023 launch party this past Wednesday at Flooring Factory in Mount Pleasant, and it was very well attended. The star of the party, of course, was our cover person, Brandon Lake, the Grammy Award winning singer songwriter. And Brandon has a beautiful home in the kind of a country home in Ondaw. And he was kind enough to open it up to our staff to photograph. And Brandon, if you don't know who Brandon Lake is, he is connected with Seacoast Church, and his singing career has just taken off like a star. He has about 500,000 Instagram followers. Listen to him on Spotify. Look him up, Brandon Lake, and he's got some great inspirational music that he has formed quite a nice career. So we were fortunate to have him and his entourage at the party this past Wednesday, and also for our new summer issue, which is out. We focus on over 70 local outdoor living spaces. So this is the time of year when People are spending more time outdoors. Get some great inspiration by picking up the new issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and have a great weekend. And now we're talking with Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction as part of our occasional series of brilliant builders and renovation sensations. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing great, Tim. Good to be with you.
Yeah, you too. Kevin, take a moment and tell everyone about Kalman Construction.
We're a small family-owned construction company. We moved here in 1996 from Nantucket, Mass., where my dad had a building company. I grew up swinging a hammer from a young age, and we've been working here ever since 96. We have a sister company called ACK Services that we are licensed in master plumbing, master electrical, HVAC, and gas work. So we do all that stuff in-house. We do most of the work with guys on staff as opposed to having a big stable of subcontractors.
Yeah, and that's something that makes Kalman Construction unique, because a lot of GCs they rely on subcontractors to do the work. And what particular trades do you represent at Kalman Construction that you have in house?
Might be easier to tell you what we don't do.
So
we subcontract our masonry work. We have a fabulous tile guy that we subcontract to, and the insulation, we subcontract that to a company. Other than that, probably 80 or 90% of everything else on the house we do in-house. When I grew up in Nantucket, you kind of did everything. You built a fence for the lady next door. You fixed an outdoor shower for, a guy who had a summer house. You built a 60 or 70 or $100,000 house back in the 70s for a local guy who was a postal carrier, and you built the $1 million house for the hedge fund broker from New York. So, and you did it all. So we moved here and everybody was a specialist, and sometimes not to the betterment of the craft. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go back to that model again after we were doing a house, and the electrician told me that he would be back after deer season. And I was like, well, that's not so bad. Deer season in Nantucket's a week,
Yeah.
How bad could it be? Well, deer season here is like 3 months long, And so I told him when he came back, I wouldn't need him. And I started going to school and doing what we needed to do to get our own licensing. And we started doing it all in-house from there on out. And, on a new construction, it's not the end of the world when nobody shows up. You lose a day of the schedule. Everybody's got it padded in there because they know there's going to be days when nothing happens. Nobody's happy about it, especially the owners when they show up and, nothing's happened from the day before. But when you've got Mrs. Jones's kitchen apart and nobody shows up, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So, you don't want to be on the end of that phone call. So we just decided that, the guy who's doing the demo is also going to be the guy who, hang the drywall. He might be the same guy with another guy who does the electrical work. And we're a design build company. So a lot of the times the plans are done by our company with an outside engineer as needed. So we'll already have the plans done in-house, and we kind of control the process from front to back.
Gotcha. What does that mean, design build?
Well, it ordinarily works like this. That someone will call us and we consider ourselves a company by attraction, not promotion. We don't do a whole lot of advertising with you guys, really, is our only advertising. And the home shows that you do, that's really our only advertising for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's all done by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so a client will contact us from somebody else, and they'll tell us that they would like to remodel their master bathroom, as an example. And I will make an appointment, come out, take a look at their project, listen to what they want to do, make recommendations, and then I will go back and send them an email within a week, and it will just have a ballpark number, and it'll say, based on what we talked about, X, Y, Z, data, 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 here's your ballpark price. If you want to proceed, I will come back and I will measure everything up, and then we will proceed with plans.
Mm.
That way I don't spend months and years of my time pricing jobs that never happen. And you know, the client has an understanding of where we are before we get rolling. Mm-hmm. So I'll come back. I will do the design. So I will do an existing floor plan, and then I will do proposed plans, sometimes two or three based on options. And we will send it back again with a budget. And the budget will get tighter every time we do this. And I will say, you know, based now on what we've got, this is where we're at. And these are the allowances that I used, because nobody has all of the items picked out at that point in time that we need: tile, sinks, faucets, shower valves, shower doors, vanities, countertops, mirrors, lights. I'll just have attach a number to all of that and say tile is $4 a square foot, as an example. Mm-hmm. So they'll know if they go shopping for tile, if they buy tile more than $4 a square foot, they are exceeding the allowance. Less than $4 a square foot, they're under the allowance, and they'll receive a credit. And as I do the plans, I'm pricing it. I'm already talking to anybody that I need to talk to, as far as, do I need engineering? Do I need permitting? What do I need for this project? And then we'll turn it into a contract, and then we will show up on site and we will demo and, you know, go to town, do what we need to do. And we will send the client a list of places that we recommend that they shop at. They can shop wherever they want. But it helps if they go to places that we are familiar with and that we know the salespeople. Moloff's is a good example. We will send people there for plumbing. We will ask them to talk to Sarah, because that's our person at Moloff's, and we work very well together. And so she'll walk them through the options when they get there, and they'll send us the quote, and then we'll be able to order material and start the project. Mm.
So as far as budget goes, or if they go over budget, it's their own choice. It's not you're not going to them and saying, oh, sorry about this, we're gonna have to charge you more for this or that.
Yeah, they've got the information from the very beginning. Nice. And we break it down on and we break it down per fixture. So if there's a plumbing allowance of X, we break it down. The toilet is this much, the faucet is this much, the shower valve is this much, the tub is this much. And we do that because when you have a big number, it's real easy to exceed it. But when you look at the toilet allowance of $300, and you know, you look on your sheet and it says $300, and you're looking at a toilet that's $800, you instantly know that you're $500 over on that toilet. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier to do that than if you've got an $8,000 plumbing allowance. It's real easy to pick out a whole bunch of stuff, and the quote comes in at $10,000, and you got to go back and redo it again. Nobody has time for that stuff mm-hmm. nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, time is so critical to everybody.
Yeah, and I've heard stories over the years about homeowners that have gotten a couple few bids, and they end up going with the lowest bid, and they find out later that the allowances that particular builder had put in the bid are way lower. There might be $3,000 for lighting, and you know, you can buy one lighting fixture for $3,000, and then they ended up having to come out of pocket. But it's those kinds of surprises that that homeowners don't really want, and doesn't sound like they would experience that with Kalman Construction.
I think what's really interesting, you know, because I will go to, you know, four or five appointments every 2 weeks or so, and someone tell me what they want to do, and then we'll send them back our, you know, our ballpark. And, you know, I'll either not hear back from them, or they'll get back to me, and which is nice. Even if they're telling me that they're going with somebody else, I really appreciate somebody just getting back to me and letting me know.
Sure.
But what they don't understand is that sometimes the highest price is the best deal. And it really depends on what people have in these ballpark, you know, these apples to orange quotes. So I might look at it and include everything, including shower doors, mirrors, you know, all the rest of the stuff. Somebody else might be excluding all of this stuff, but they're not going to find out until they get way down the process. So it's really important that they understand what exactly this is. And if they don't have plans or a clear understanding of what they're going to do, sometimes I'll come and I'll hear, you know, the guy who was here last week said we could do this. And, you know, so I'm thinking maybe that's what we want to do. And I'll look at it and say, well, you could, but I think if you did this, the design would be more successful, and it'll work better, and it will meet your needs better. And okay, let's do that. So now she's got an apples and orange bid. She's got the guy who looked at it, who priced what he thought he was going to do, and now you've got me looking at it, pricing what I think I'm going to do. Mm. And, you know, quite frankly, if we're the lowest bidder, we miss something. You know, we're never the lowest bidder, and nor do I ever want to be the lowest bidder. You know, we're professionals. We've been doing this. I've been doing this for 40 something years. I've practiced enough over the years. I know the numbers. I know the cost. I know how long it takes. So, you know, when it comes time to perform, you know, we've been there, and there's very few things that we're surprised at. Like, I won't say there's nothing we're surprised at, because every week something shows up that no one's ever seen before.
How do you, what about homeowners that they are inevitably scouring the internet, looking at photos for inspiration, and they might be looking specifically, I mentioned light fixtures, so they might be looking at light fixtures, and they come to you and they say, hey, I want to order this or that online, and how do you treat something that kind of situation?
People say all the time, you know, what if I want to buy it? I'm fine with that. We have an allowance number for it, so go and buy it. So I don't care if you spend, if the allowance is $500 and you spend $1,000, I'm going to credit you $500. Mm-hmm. If you spend $200, I'm still going to credit you $500. So it really makes no difference to me. Someone has to buy it. This really comes down to storage and having the ability and a place to store this stuff. And it's not so much light fixtures, but it's like someone goes on to Pinterest or one of these places and sees a vanity that they like. And, you know, nowadays you can click on it and it'll take you to that vanity. And, you know, it's like, you know, I want that vanity. Well, you know, that's great. You can buy that vanity. Here's what we have in there, allowance for a vanity in the top. But where are you going to put it? And that's really what it comes down to with a lot of this stuff. And sometimes with some of these projects that are months long, whether it's like a whole house renovation or even a new home, when you see products like that and you really want them, you need to buy them then, and you need to store them somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to store it for you.
Right.
I don't have the room. I don't want to take up room in my shop to store somebody else's thing that they've bought somewhere. And, you know, you need to inspect it when it gets there, and it's your responsibility. If it's got a big ding in it or a gouge or it's missing hardware or whatever, it's your responsibility. You bought it. Will help, but it's still your responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have no problem. Somebody has to buy all of this stuff somewhere at some point. You know, it's really, that's what it comes down to.
Because you know, if your customer goes to one of your trusted sources here in Charleston, not only are you know that they're gonna be sizing it right and everything like that, but if there's a problem down the road, you can go back to Moloff's, for example, and say, hey, we're experiencing this with this plumbing fixture versus something that you buy online. The homeowner's kind of stuck then, right?
Well, it's awfully hard to go back to Mr. eBay. You know, he never answers the phone, that guy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said about trying to support the local guys. You know, mm-hmm. those are the guys that support the local, you know, little league teams and, you know, the bridge run and, you know, all this other stuff. You know, there's a reason that they're local and they've been around a long time for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
So.
Not to mention the fact that the trusted source, the showrooms that you're sending folks to, they understand the schedule and everything, and the sizes that you need to adhere to make sure that it'll fit into the space and so forth. Homeowners, I've heard various stories about homeowners. They'll get the shipment in and they'll say, It looked different than, you know, in the photo that I saw online, and it ends up being too small or too big, and then you're talking about, you know, large items that you've got to ship back someplace else because it's just not going to work.
Lots of times, shipping it back costs more than getting it. Right. So, you know, Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist are full of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Not that you can't find a great deal in one of those places, but, you know, a lot of times that's why it's there. Brand new, never installed. Yeah, because it didn't fit. So some, you know, if the client wants to order something like that, we ask that they send it to us first so I can look at it and say, yes, that'll fit. No, it won't.
Ah, gotcha. That's good. That's good. You've, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking with general contractor Kevin Kalman with Kalman's Construction as part of our Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations series. And Kevin, you've I think just about every home show, you have done a seminar, and I can remember one of the seminars a couple years ago about using non-traditional materials in different settings and so forth, and ways, and ultimately the takeaway that I got was you're finding interesting ways of using materials that the homeowner may not have thought of, and actually save the homeowner a lot of money too.
We we're no different than a lot of other people. I will say that I don't look at Pinterest, but I do look at a lot of trade magazines. So I'm always trying to look at seeing what's going on trending wise. And a lot of the trends start with the national builders. And so I'm always looking at what those guys are doing and seeing how we can adapt some of that stuff into our custom construction. Mm-hmm. You know, I've probably built 400 houses, maybe something like that, remodeled thousands of wow. kitchens and bathrooms by now. And we've only built the same house like three times in 40 years. So every time we do something, it's different. Every time it's different. And, you know, it's a lot easier for these guys to build the same house 14 times on one street, you know, to know exactly, you know, we need 12 nails over here. You know, mm-hmm. for us, it's a whole lot different because every time it's different, we're going to put it together different. So trying to come up with innovative uses for materials that really work. The one of the better ones that we had was the pool coping as stair treads in a home that we did, which got a deal on went to a tile sale. Guy had these big cases of pool coping sitting there that he couldn't get rid of. Bought them very aggressively. They were priced cheap. I bought them, and we put them into a house for stair treads, and they are just amazing. I mean, everybody that comes in just stops and says, you know, are those marble? And it's like, yeah, they are, you know. And, you know, not only are they marble, they were half the price of oak treads, and we didn't have to finish them, and we didn't have to stain them, and you know, so forth. And, you know, they'll never have to finish them. So yeah. I'm hoping they get that nice warm look. If you've ever been to Rome, that you see on the old, you know, the old treads that have a nice little dish in the middle of them. So anyway, I don't know if I'll live long enough for that one, but
yes, I know what you mean. well, we haven't touched on this, but talk about some of the projects that Kalman Construction has taken on. Maybe going on right now, or perhaps in the past.
Oh gosh, we do a fair amount of new construction, from Meggitt area, Hollywood. We've gone to Edisto a few times. We'll go out as far as Somerville. That market has really heated up in the last few years with all of the commercial stuff that's going on out there. So we do a fair amount of design built single family homes, custom designed for the lot and for the client, anywhere from 1,400, 1,500 square feet raised houses that are in flood areas to 3,000, 4,000 square foot houses that are you know, in non-flood zone, like just a single story house kind of thing.
Yep.
We just did a couple of jobs in the Isle of Palms where we jacked up a house that was existing, jacked it up, put a foundation underneath it. It was in the flood area, and then tore the roof off, put another story on top of it, and then you know, put a roof back on it again. Very successful design build, and that client had been through two architects before we got involved, and they could never get to the point of having a budget that would work with the program that the clients were looking for. They could just never get there. They tried it a couple of times, and then we got recommended from another client that we had, and very nice clients, very great, very good project. So that led to the project next door, pretty much doing the same thing. So
the architects, the plans they drew were out of the price range for that particular client?
Yes. It's part of a design build thing that allows me to start at the budget and try to design to the budget. And I think that's at odds with some of the design philosophy of other people. I mean, there are just designing something that doesn't get built, to me, is just a waste of time. I mean, and I make my money building. I don't make my money doing the design.
Mm-hmm.
I get paid for it, but I don't make a living doing it.
Right.
So if I'm going to spend my time and design something, I want to build it. I want to make sure that we get out of the ground and we do this thing. So if a client tells me this is what we've got and this is what I want to do, and I'll look at it and say, all right, that sounds reasonable. I'll draw up some floor plans, and we'll take a look at it, and I'll say, yeah, this is the budget we're in. And then, you know, if that's still acceptable, then we will continue the design. If it's not acceptable, we'll just stop there and you know, end the process, because there's no reason to go forward. I'm not going to waste somebody's money for something that's not going to get built.
Yeah, the design-build way of construction, I've always heard that it's the right hand knows what the left hand is doing versus, you know, sometimes personal example, even when we had our house built, I kept asking the architect during the design process, how much is this going to cost to build? And she couldn't tell me. She had no idea until the very end, when the plans were drawn and we put it out to bid, is you know, we were holding our breath wondering how much is this going to come in and are we actually going to be able to afford to do it?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're able to avoid all of that with the design build process.
It certainly helps us. It helps us, and it helps me to slot the jobs so I can look at our design and figure, okay, we've got this one in design. You know, I've got this one under construction. We're going to finish this one. We can, you know, we can then start this other project over here. The guys will be free. So it helps me schedule-wise. It helps me, you know, there's a lot of pluses to it. You know, it's a matter of trust. And it's a matter of somebody saying, this is what my budget is, and this is what I want. And thinking that you're not going to design something for half that number and try to pocket the money. That's mm-hmm. what it comes down to.
Right.
And that's why nobody wants to tell you what their numbers are, because you know, everybody's afraid if they do that, that they're going to get half of what they, you know, could have gotten. Is, you know, somehow something nefarious is going on. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've been doing this way too long for that type of stuff. I just want to, you know, do our job, go home at the end of the day. That's all.
Do you ever get the inevitable question about cost per square foot?
Every day.
How do you handle
every
that?
Day. I usually say, how much did you pay for your car by the pound? Because that's how much relevance it really has. It is completely irrelevant, you know. And, you know, I will follow that up with, is it in a flood zone? How much, you know, how many deck areas do you have? Do you have a screen porch? You know, do we have how many fireplaces do you have? How big is your garage? Do we have an unfinished room over the garage? Because all that stuff gets jammed into the square foot number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, $300 a square foot might sound outrageous, but it might be the deal of the century, depending upon what you're jamming into it.
Right.
You know, if it's a four corner box with a, you know, a little tiny front porch and a you know a concrete slab out the back, like, you know, like some of these track builders, you know, it's going to be very low dollars per square foot. But that same amount of square feet with a two-car garage, or, you know, a room over the top of it, you know, a full front porch, big, huge screen porch, outdoor shower, you know,
metal roof.
There's all this stuff that goes into it, you know, impact windows, you know, are they going to be casements? Are they going to be double hungs? All of this stuff has an impact. So, you know, the appliance package, is it $5,000? Is it $20,000? I don't know, you know? So that's kind of what happens. It's really a misleading thing. And you know, it's unfortunate because people use that as their bellwether. Oh, yeah. You know, he said 150 or he said 250, you know, I'm hearing 150 or, you know, 350 or, you know, whatever, you know, it really comes down to, what is in the design and, you know, what the specifications are. And, you know, if you don't have specifications, then somebody needs to spend the time to do that.
Mm-hmm. The cost per square foot, that must have originated with real estate agents or something. I don't know. Builders don't like having to answer that question for sure.
It's a non-question. You know, it really is. You know, I tend more to like lots of times we will talk to clients and they will say, you know, can we talk to somebody that you've built for, or, you know, we've done this with. And so we'll send them to somebody who basically is the same project. You know, let's say it's a design build of, 2,500 feet, one story house. I know exactly who I'm going to send those people to. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll send the previous client an email and say, I've got a client. Is it okay if they contact you? And invariably they say yes. And lots of times they will invite them out. I won't ask that. But lots of times they will. They'll invite them out to see their house, mm-hmm. You know, and then they'll go out and look at the house, and then they'll come back to me and we'll start talking about it. I'll say, you know, that's the ballpark that house was in. Is that what you're looking for? You know, and that will help with the whole how much per square foot thing.
How do you handle deadlines with your clients? Because homeowners, They wish they could just snap their fingers and the whole project would be finished. And do you ever fall behind or do you set deadlines with your clients?
There's two things to take into consideration. We are a fixed price company. We don't do any cost plus work. We don't do any work with a fee. We don't do any not to exceed, which is the same to me as a fixed price. So my feeling on this, and this will lead into the answer that the question that you asked. My feeling on this is that if somebody does the work up front and either at least identifies allowance numbers or items that need to be picked out in those allowance numbers. So if I'm doing a job for you, Tim, we will give you a sheet that will say, in this bathroom, you have a toilet, a vanity, a top, a sink, a faucet, floor tile, shower wall tile, shower door. And all these things will be listed, and there will be either an allowance number next to them or there will be something that you have already picked out. Now, somebody needs to pick that out at some time during this process. My feeling is you do that work up front and you get it out of the way, and that way the budget number is much tighter and you have less chance of going over your allowance numbers, because we can adjust the contract in the beginning if you go over your allowance numbers. And, you know, if we haven't started and we haven't signed a contract yet, the number will just change based on your choices. All of that stuff rolls into the fixed price contract, which also has a contract start date and a contract finish date. Start date with our company lots of times will be either when the contract is signed or the building permit is released, depending upon where we are in that process. And then it will start at that date and then go forward. It'll be X amount of days or months or however it goes from that point forward. We are usually, and I say usually, very close, either on budget or under budget. We're very close, schedule-wise, I'm sorry. We're very close on that. Based on availability of products, the last couple of years, it has just been a horror show of trying to get products. And every week or every day, there has been something that would just seem like minuscule that has just ground everything to a halt. It may be as small as electrical boxes. At one point in time, you could not buy any electrical boxes in Charleston. I mean, you talk about something that's like 90 cents a piece.
Right.
And there are none. I mean, not like, you know, I mean, we're like scouring every electrical supply place, every Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, Somerville, Myrtle Beach, Charlotte. I mean, we're looking, I'm buying stuff online and having stuff shipped in. And so it just led to overages, you know, everywhere. And it's just the way that it was. It's, you know, everybody woke up every day, did the best they could, slapped themselves and went back to sleep. I mean, it was just that bad every day. And so it's getting a lot better now. But still, every once in a while, something will pop up and everything grinds to a halt. And that's not taking into account storms and, you know, everything else in the world that happens here. We do have one kind of weird scheduling thing, is that we will not schedule a house to be finished the week or two before Thanksgiving through the new year. So if your schedule falls like the first week of December, it's going to be like the middle of January. We just will not do it. There's too much pressure around the holidays. People make plans to have, you know, family come and this and that. And the last thing you want is, you know, everybody's holidays ruined because the appliances didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no stove, no stove, no CO. Pretty simple. Yep. Can't move into your house. You know, I can cook outside on the grill. Nope, no, you can't, because we don't have a CO, you know. So we just don't do it. We just, and that is, you know, you only have to go through one of those in 40 years to never have that happen again.
Right. So, yeah. CO being the certificate of occupancy that you get from the municipality.
Right.
Well, I have to say, Kevin, that's one of the things that I have always respected about Kalman Construction is telling the client that you know, we're not gonna try to rush to finish a job before Thanksgiving or before Christmas or something like that, because you're right, it puts a lot of undue pressure, and nobody in their right mind builds like you see some of those some of the HGTV programs where everything is done in 30 minutes or less, and that's or Restaurant Impossible or something. I always think about, I wonder what the owners of that restaurant, you know, experience after everyone's packed up and left. There's probably you know, a few things that was missed because of the pressure, the time pressure of getting it all done within.
We've done some of those, you know, here in Charleston, we've done a couple of these, you know, home makeover things for different entities over the years. And what people don't understand is the work that goes into the beginning of these things and having everything like lined up and making it happen. And, you know, the guys who are like working on top of each other to make this, you know, happen and pull off, and the building officials that are part of these things, like, they will make special trips out. When we did a couple of these back to back, and, you know, the building official came out, you know, on like a Thursday night at 8 o'clock to do inspections. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to say that happens, you know, like every week, because it never happens, you know. I mean, those guys, you're lucky if you can get them, never mind get them on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But, you know, they understood what was going on, and, you know, who was going to be the beneficiary of this project, and so on. And, you know, they jump through hoops too to help the whole thing go along. So it's just unrealistic when you see it. It's just completely unrealistic.
Right.
I mean, interesting TV, you know, a little bit of drama, you know, and, you know, a big reveal, you know, great to see, good stories, you know, but completely unrealistic in the real world.
Yeah, and I think we're going back a long time for the early 2000s, when I think that's when I first met you. We were involved with ABC News 4 on a on a home makeover, and you know, one of the things that I respected about you when you agreed to be the GC on the project was you weren't doing it for the advertising. You were doing it because there was a family in need, and you, you know, that's just part of your character. And you're a very humble person. You know, I'm sure you don't like talking about that, but, are there other things in your life in terms of just, you know, being, you know, a good person and wanting to help out others that are in need?
You know, we've been really blessed over the years to, you know, I guess I've got some talent as far as, you know, the construction industry goes. And if you don't give it back, I mean, I don't know what exactly you do if you don't give it back. And we do tons and tons of stuff. We don't advertise about it. We don't toot our horn. We like to show up, do whatever it is we need to do, go home. And usually it's people that just need a hand, or they need something done, or, you know, whether it's, elderly or disabled, or, you know, it doesn't really matter. We're just there to help out, do what we need to do, and help. And, you know, there are people find themselves in situations sometimes, you know, lots of times through no fault of their own, and they just need someone to help them. And so we do what we can, you know, so.
Well, and you're going to have to remind me some of the specifics, but haven't you and your wife Betsy taken in some kids that were in need of a home?
Yeah, that was a few years back. We just we're very involved in our neighborhood. We live in I term it a transitional neighborhood. And it's we live up around Park Circle area, and I really like where we live because it's a real neighborhood. You know, the guy next door works, the guy down the street works, you know, we've got a trash guy, a plumber, you know, whatever, all in our neighborhood type of thing. And we have these young kids in the neighborhood, and, we are lucky to have a swimming pool at our house. And so Betsy would invite these guys over, you know, in the summertime to come swim at our house. And, you know, so we'd get a mob of like 8 or 10 kids from the neighborhood over. None of them can swim. So Betsy goes out and buys life jackets for everybody. So she's got them all in life jackets, bobbing in the pool, you know, like buoys, you know, she's teaching them all to swim. And, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, a couple of these kids just had an unfortunate incident that happened, and they needed someplace to go. It was, you know, it was DSS or, you know, or someplace else. And so we took them in for a while, and man, I love those guys. And I had them with me during the days, and, you know, they would go to job sites with me, and, you know, so forth. And it would almost remind me of like when I was a kid working with my dad, you know, like getting in the truck, we're going, you know, and yeah. Off we go. And, so finally, everything worked back out again, and they got to go home, which everybody was thrilled about. So, you know, and it's just something that needed to be done, and we were at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Well, I think contractors can get a bad rep sometimes. You know, you hear different stories about this and that, and I think that's one of the challenges when you're a homeowner looking to hire a contractor is, you know, can I trust this person and so forth, and trust is a big part of working with a GC, because you're going to be working with them for quite a long time, and it's almost like a marriage. And you know, I guess the person I would want to hire is someone who has a lot of character and you know, is just used to doing the right thing, and that's definitely you, Kevin. So I appreciate you opening up about that.
I think that it's, you know, it's a relationship game, you know, it's all about the relationship. You know, I know things about people that I wish I didn't, you know, by the time I'm done working for somebody, I know which side of the bed everybody sleeps on, who answers the phone at night, you know, and other things that I don't want to divulge, but, you know, it's just a relationship thing. And if it's somebody that you can get along with and, answers the phone, shows up when they say they're going to show up, then you're 90% there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Kevin, how can folks reach out to Kalman Construction?
They can look us up online at kalmanconstruction.com. So we're there. They can catch us there. Our phone number is 843-856-0515 is our office number. my office assistant, Christina, will set up an appointment for me to come out and see. Christina has worked with me. We hired her. She was in high school in the 90s when we moved here. And she's worked with us ever since. And she is my right-hand person.
Wow.
So without her, I'd have to close the doors. Wow. So
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say she's just as important as the guys in the field, if not more so many times.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we've got one of those at we've got a Christina here at Charles and Holman Design, and her name is Denise Thompson, and I couldn't agree with you more about that.
Yep.
Well, good deal. Well, thank you. We've been talking with Kevin Kalman, general contractor with Kalman Construction, and as part of our occasional series, Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations. And you can always find Kalman Construction within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great day.
And joining us now is Chip Tovey with Palmetto Exterminators. How you doing, Chip?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Thank you. Appreciate you asking. Chip, take a moment and tell everyone about Palmetto Exterminators.
Well, Palmetto Exterminators is a family business that's been in business for 63 years, taking care of homes throughout the state of South Carolina. We actually have a location in North Carolina in the Charlotte market now as well. With that experience comes the expertise, tenured employees. If you're facing a challenge with insects in your home, whether it's pests or termites or mosquitoes, it's something that we've encountered before and something we specialize in helping you with.
Very good. Very good. Well, Chip, this time of year, summertime, what are some of the challenges that you're hearing from homeowners as far as pest control goes?
Well, now that we've actually got the summer here, I think a lot of us were wondering back in May and June where the hot weather was, but it's definitely arrived now. And with that is an increase in pest activity all across the board. One of the biggest challenges people are facing now that we hear a lot about is mosquitoes, because as we know, in this area, mosquitoes are terrible. And a lot of folks calling us with questions about, you know, what we can do to help prevent that problem for them.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And what can Palmetto Exterminators help with as far as mosquito control?
Of course, we do have misting systems, but our bread and butter, what we really specialize in, are barrier treatments, where we're able to come around the exterior of the home, treat all the foliage, bushes, harborage areas where mosquitoes are going to be resting, kind of waiting on you to come outside. And we treat those areas to eliminate the adult population. And then we also find areas where we have standing water, whether it's a bird bath or something else. And we're actually able to do larvicide in those areas to stop that breeding process so you don't have another group of adults coming out trying to feed on you. So with that, we do that service March through November, and we're able to keep the population very well in check.
Mm. And mosquitoes, most people have some hedges around their house, and that's where mosquitoes like to hang out, there in the shaded areas, right?
Absolutely. They love the shade. And where they're going to be resting is in those bushes on the underside of the leaves. So it's important to do a proper application to make sure that your treatment is getting those areas where the mosquitoes rest. And it actually is not just a one-shot deal. It leaves a residual behind. So if there's not a mosquito resting in that area right at the time of application, if one were to, let's say, mosey along about 30 minutes later or even the next day and get on the underside of that leaf, it would contact that material and it would eliminate it.
Mm-hmm. And Palmetto Exterminators can help with mosquito control with misting systems that are installed in your backyard, well as you folks do like fogging with in the bushes and so forth?
Absolutely. We do have misting systems that we can put on the property. And of course we run the lines and have the nozzles there in the mulch bed areas where mosquitoes are going to be resting. We've even gone as far as we've done neighborhood applications as well for certain communities where we have a unit on the back of the truck and almost do it like that old fashioned style that you see like in old shots and movies. But really our specialty is our barrier treatment. to get that material out where the mosquitoes rest, and we're targeting it in those areas, and it's very effective. But misting systems are an option if people are interested in it. We do offer both, and that's something we explain to folks when we go out on the property and review it.
Mm-hmm. What happens when Palmetto Exterminators comes out and treats for mosquitoes, all the bushes and stuff, and we have one of our afternoon rainstorms?
Very good question. So that's where it comes in handy, that it leaves a residual material behind. Now, that type of product, not to get too technical, but what it does is it leaves a little micro-encapsulated piece of active ingredient behind. And because we're using the misting systems, are the backpack mister, I should say, it's almost like a fog in the bush when we're doing the application. So it treats all around the leaf, and it's able to affix itself on the underside of that leaf. So it can rain, and actually that material is sheltered by the bush itself. Mm. So that's why it's important to make sure you're using the proper equipment when you're doing the application.
What happens when Palmetto Exterminators comes out and fogs the yard, but on either side of that house, those neighbors do not work with Palmetto Exterminators? Will the mosquitoes from the other properties migrate over to your property, or will the houses on either side benefit from the fact that that they had Palmetto Exterminators out to get rid of those mosquitoes?
Well, in a sense, I guess you could say there is some benefit to your neighbors. If you're doing the application on your property, you're lowering the overall mosquito population. As it pertains to the neighbors not having the service, but you have the service, are you going to get a lot of their mosquitoes coming over? Will you see maybe one or two mosquitoes in that kind of event? Yes. But again, leaving that barrier treatment, or providing that barrier treatment and leaving that material behind on the underside of the leaves, when they come over and try and rest on your plants in your yard, they're contacting that material. And so it's going to kill them just the same as the mosquitoes that were originally on your property.
Hmm, gotcha. And the treatments, whether it's the misting system or when you come out with the backpack fogger, how is it safe for kids and pets?
Absolutely. Now, obviously, we don't want people outside in the bush areas or outside while we're doing the application, but it's perfectly safe for pets. Just have them indoors when we come and do the treatment. And once the material dries, it's perfectly fine.
And does Palmetto Exterminators, if we have a lot of properties in the Charleston area that border on marshes and water and so forth, those are also prime breeding grounds for mosquitoes. But do the treatment itself, is it safe for the environment, for the waterways and so forth?
Well, it's certainly environmentally friendly, but there are certain areas where we're restricted from being able to use it. You never want to get any material anywhere near a body of water, whether it's a creek, stream, lake. And so when we confront those challenges, we do as much as we can from an eco-friendly perspective, and we're still able to get some control in those environments. But we do ask for people's patience when they are in an environment or situation where we can't get the material in contact with water or damage the environment in any way.
Mm, gotcha. Well, I wanted to ask you about a really important way of approaching getting rid of those unwanted pests in your house. Is it better for a homeowner to wait till they start to see a palmetto bug or some other creepy crawly? Or is it better to have Palmetto Exterminators out to prevent them from coming out to begin with at all?
Very good question. I'll say this. It's always easier to prevent an issue than sometimes solving the problem itself. We are dealing with a wild animal, or an insect in this case, that kind of does what it wants when it wants to do it. And if they get a foothold in your house, sometimes those issues can be present. And it takes you a little while to notice that you've got a problem, whether that's termites or a particular pest issue. When they start harboring inside your home, they're reproducing. They're making more offspring. And so by the point that you see something and it's an issue and you call someone to, hey, come help us, Palmetto. Well, by the time we get out there, it might take an application or two to get that issue under control. I'm not saying we can't control it. Obviously, we can. That's our specialty. But it's so much easier when you don't have 10,000 ants already in your house, yeah, or 500 roaches already hanging out in the attic or in the kitchen, depending on the type of roach. So we always recommend preventive treatment. We are in the South, and we are in an area with very high pest activity. And it's funny because a lot of the transplants that come down, they see one palmetto bug and they're surprised because where they moved from, there was nothing like that. And of course, they call us right away. But a lot of us locally that live in the South and have lived in the Southeast our entire lives, sometimes we might take things for granted and not realize, hey, this is something I should really prevent in my home, because if I do have an issue, boy, that's going to be a little bit of a headache getting rid of. And I don't want them in my pantry, or I don't want them, in my crawl space. And so that's what we're here for, is to help you prevent those issues before they become a problem.
Well, we all wish that we could live in a house that was maintenance free, but I don't know any house that is maintenance free. There's always something that is going to pop up. And, I agree with you 100%. What's the old expression? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, or something.
Absolutely.
Which I think means if you do a little bit up front, you won't have to pay a lot later. I think is the interpretation of that, at least from my point of view.
Yes, actually, very true. Whether it's in money or resources or in your time, some of it is we charge a fair rate for our services, and whether you have a problem or not, it's typically based on the size of your home. But we're thinking about the peace of mind to a homeowner, and nobody wants to experience a pest problem and you get something in your kitchen going on, and just the process of getting rid of that is stressful for a homeowner. So we want to try and avoid that stress so you're not having to deal with it.
And we're almost out of time, but Palmetto Exterminators comes out and treats for insects and so forth. But then before the next treatment, they do notice some activity. Can they call Palmetto Exterminators? Have you folks come back out to do a retreatment?
Absolutely. That's part of our guarantee. We do provide a quarterly pest control service. If you have issues in between those quarterly visits that are of concern to you, you give us a call and we come out and take care of it for you.
Well, very good. Well, we've just scratched the surface with what Palmetto Exterminators can help a homeowner with. Next time I'd love to talk about termite treatments and prevention and so forth, which is a very important topic here in the Charleston area. But in the meantime, what's the best way for folks to get more information about Palmetto Exterminators?
Of course, they can go to our website, palmettoexterminators.net. They can give us a call. We'd be happy to come out and talk to them and take care of whatever they're facing.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Chip Tovey with Palmetto Exterminators. Thanks so much, Chip.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured in today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Tune in again next week.